Welcome to the Game On Podcast. Tonight, a couple of debutantes give India a bit of trouble, including one youngster taking on a veteran. And Australia retain the Border Gavaskar Trophy in impressive style.
Regain.
Yes. And Adelaide United holding strong and in a great position at this time of the season. All right, let's do this. Welcome to the Game On Podcast and Happy New Year to everybody. My name's Pete once again, joining the studio here with Malcolm. And, mate, how's your New Year's period been?
Watching a lot of cricket, selling a few books as well. But, yes, lots of the cricket. Look, awesome series, particularly the Test match in Melbourne, which I thought was on as good a pitch as I've ever seen.
Yes.
Let's go through the cricket a bit.
We'll cover that in 2 seconds. I want to almost give Adelaide United a bit of plug right from the get go.
Yep.
Because what will happen is we'll forget about it because we've got a lot of cricket to cover. But Adelaide United are sitting second on the table at the moment and have put themselves in a really good position considering they don't have the big name players that some of the interstate teams do.
And really have come back well because the two previous games, home games, they'd have been in front, lost one and drawn one out of those two, and they came from behind.
Yep.
And Luka Jovanovic.
That's the one.
Outstanding goal to win the game versus MacArthur.
Yes.
And then, admittedly, the game on the weekend at Wellington, I think, on memory, the goal to win the game. You've got to have a look, anyone out there who hasn't seen it.
Yep.
Let's just say myself, Peter, or a five-year-old would have been better than the
goalkeeper
error. Yep. It's that bad that you could have been accused of match fixing. It's that bad an error.
Right, we'll leave it there.
Yes, it was very funny.
Adelaide, obviously, we didn't know what to expect. Rebuilding.
Yeah, no, it's promising.
Some young fellas they're giving opportunities to. Irukunda, obviously, transferred overseas. Transfer window, I believe, is open now. You know, they're not looking to add too much to the squad. I think the stability is what's actually held them in good stead.
Yeah, and as I said, to come from behind and then to win in the last minute.
Yeah.
You know, well and truly solidly in the six because they've actually played less games as well. So they're well set up and we can only hope.
Absolutely.
And especially with the number of kids, way in front of where I think most people in the soccer world would have thought.
Absolutely. Carl Viet's got them up and running. All right, mate, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, the first one for 2025. We're obviously going to have a look at the cricket in a minute, but the AFL, the tennis is pretty big at the moment. And we've got to talk basketball, but let's kick off with the cricket. Australia regains the Border Gavaskar Trophy. They win it 3-1.
Some crucial things. Yep. Australia were better in the key moments. Let's remember, India won the first test. They were 1-for-61 here in Adelaide.
Yes.
Just bat reasonably well from there, get 250, and game's on. Let's go through a few things here. Adelaide in the first innings, India lost from that situation, 9-for-111.
Yep.
Second innings, 7-for-89.
Yes.
Second innings in Melbourne,
7-for-34.
Yep. When Pant committed Hari Curry getting out to Travis Head long hop.
Yes.
Sydney in the first innings, 6-for-65. In the second innings, 6-for-33. So a big part of the series there was just a bit more stability and a bit more contributions from Yadler. Kerry didn't have a great series in terms of a big score or anything.
Yep.
Looked good, as always, in every innings, and a bit frustration there with Alex and a bit mystified, personally, because I'm sitting there thinking, I still think he's got the best technique of anyone in the Australian side. And messaged around the traps and but not name him because he's a commentator and all that, so he's given it back privately.
Yes.
Where he agrees in terms of, but he's just going too hard with his hands.
Yes.
And just not being quite tight enough. And I think just just got to be more patient. I think that's the way cricket's become. You know, we know baseball and just get on with the game and how quick test matches are over and done with now.
3.5 days instead of at most.
Just batting. Like, Alex got the best 20 in Sydney of anyone and then got out, bowled. Just going too hard at it with the hands instead of a decent foot stride forward, soft hands, keep the ball out. That's my bit with Alex at the moment. It's just be more patient. Just keep batting.
How'd you view Travis Head's series? Because it seemed to fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah, that's the way Travis plays.
And that's what I was going to say.
You know, he's not. Travis is all eye hand coordination. It's not technique. Look, whatever we think, I don't agree with his build up, but he still did get 89 in Perth. We've still got to remember that when
that was
else
in a loss.
Did.
Yeah,
and then he smashes the next two tests. Fails in three innings and then not out in Sydney in the fourth. So that's the way Trav bats. Overall, a fantastic series, a vital player for Australia winning. But the runs by Carey and Cummins, and even you think of Stark, the odd 20s, Lyons 40-odd in Melbourne, the partnership with Boland in Melbourne. So it's just a bit more consistent contributors overall Australia.
Yep.
You know, Sharma, and look, Smith coming through versus Sharma and Kohli failing is pretty crucial as well.
Yep.
And Constance getting under India's thing there. The bizarre stupidity of what Kohli did. Mm-hmm. Absolutely pathetic to not be suspended by it.
Yep.
Again, a couple of us worked out what the minimum
fee would be.
Penalty could be and had worked it out and said he will get 20% of his match fee. You know, if we'd been together then, I should have messaged you and said, put this up because this is what he'll get.
Yep.
And, yeah, sure enough, it turned out to be never more correct. You know, I wish I'd had a bet on it.
Have we ever seen a young fella get under the skin of players like that? Because it is that new breed, and we talk about Hawthorn and, you know, in the football, but there's a young fella who's, you know, didn't quite get the nod straight away. McSweeney got the nod, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. He then gets his opportunity, then basically goes out there and almost swashbuckling, going, you know what, I'm going to take them on at their own game. And then gave as good a lip as you probably could ever ask for a young fella.
Yeah, but it was just different shots. You know, these ramp shots over the keeper and over the it's never been done before in Test cricket. India, even England with the baseball haven't done that.
Yes.
So it was extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it.
Yep.
And let's remember, he played and missed four of the first six.
Yep.
So if he gets out for a duck, then all of a sudden everyone's going, yeah. And one of them, he's flicked over third slip and it was going to hit leg stump. So it's an extraordinary.
Yep.
So his hand-eye coordination is ridiculous, yes. But I do think he's got to be smarter. Like in Sydney, you had him on toast and, just a huge agricultural slog.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done that in Shield cricket. Sure, cricket.
He's been measured.
He's been technique. Yep. He got 200s against South Australia.
Yep.
And that's how he's grown up.
Is it a case of the rush of blood that, barbs were flying back and forth and he went, no, I'm gonna take this up to you?
Or did the selectors think, right, it's not working against Bumrah, you know, trying to play him technically correct, it's not working. He got 60-odd in a 2020 game.
Yep.
Whether they then thought, right,
just have a go.
Let's just do this. So I think that's more than because to play those shots, I don't think anyone's going to attempt that without being told.
Yep.
Go out. And,
well, especially in your first test.
McDonald said, "No, it wasn't instruction." I'll wear that with a grain of salt. I do think he got, and it worked to Australia's credit.
Absolutely.
It worked. Got under their skin. Oh look, but Melbourne.
Well, you could almost feel the
momentum
change, didn't it, in the series?
Well,
even
Labuschagne then started to play with a bit more fluid, a bit more authority.
Yep.
But let's remember, at tee, on the last day in Melbourne, it's going to be a draw.
Yes.
Australia have actually made the decision to bowl Travis after tee to catch up on their over rate.
Yep. And it was a masterful move.
Because of the world, to make sure that we would stay, wouldn't lose points in the battle in the world,
championship
spot. Was that? I admit, I'd actually called into the Alma to watch it, and it was fortuitous because the great man Harry Boyd was there, so it was a good chance to wish Harry all the best at St Kilda and that. So
for the season ahead.
Yeah, so I was glad to catch up with Boydie in that way. But yeah, India's batting then after two, it was just extraordinary, and yeah.
That has to be one of the biggest collapses. As you sent me the stats, and when you actually break it down like that, India loses the three losses that they lose.
Yeah.
They lose massive wickets for not a lot of runs, yeah. And Melbourne, obviously, like you said, in the second inning, 7 for 34.
Just huge clumps.
Yes.
Just a lack of. Oh, it was panic stuff as well.
Yep.
Oh, yet again, Joel Wilson's umpiring. Honestly. He should walk out with a guide dog, and he can't even watch television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, extraordinary there. Thank goodness that you did have DRS there for that, for incompetence. Yeah,
and so it's not very unlike you to give the umpire a little clip like that, but you're right. Certain mistakes are terrible enough bizarre. That you've got to say.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he just shouldn't be on the panel.
Yep.
He's struggled in numerous test matches.
Yes.
And it's farcical that he is on the panel. It's ridiculous.
All right, let's go through some of the players, obviously, for Australia. What were your thoughts on McSweeney? Let's start right from the top there. Were you surprised? I was very surprised.
Yeah, I really was.
Yep.
Let's remember, his innings in Adelaide played a massive part in winning the test match in Adelaide. His innings with Labuschagne on the first night,
yep,
batting under the lights on the pink ball. I know it's only 39 in the end, but it was a huge contribution. So to make a significant contribution. And also that second innings in Brisbane, let's remember we were 7 for 50-odd,
yep,
you know. So how come his failure mattered far more than anyone else's?
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought he was extremely unlucky.
Unlucky, yep. No, that's probably the word I was coming up with, was unlucky. Usman Khawaja.
Very lucky to last the series.
Yep.
Did look better in the last innings, but let's also remember Bumrah wasn't bowling.
Yes.
Who knows what would have happened in that chase for 160-odd if Bumrah had been fit to go. Well, because they bowled absolute crap in the first couple of overs. It was, you know, I think you and me could have done that. Like, yep. It was none for 30-odd after two overs.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sam Constance.
Promising. Got to curb a bit. I want to see a bit more smarts. And little worry. I think he's probably said a little bit too much at times. I want to see him.
So you're saying that he might have just put a target on his back?
Oh yeah, I don't think that'll worry him at all. I don't think that's in his personality.
Yep.
A couple of people who played with him said he's out there and he's just full of beans, and I don't think that'll worry him. So
youthful exuberance.
Yeah, so it's different.
Marnus Labuschagne.
Inconsistent. Still contributed, but inconsistent. Smith came back.
Yep. Talk about Smithy in a minute, but Labuschagne, you think lucky to still be at three?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, both the Khawaja and Labuschagne had far more opportunities than McSweeney. So I think they're both lucky. I do think the World Test Spot Championship spots, I think they want to go with that same side, basically.
Yep.
So
that's a bit frustrating because you've got a player that's showing a lot of promise but needs opportunity. And is it Cricket Australia falling back into all old ways of it's harder to get out of the squad than it is to get in at times?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with the comment which kept going, but he's not an opener. Hang on. He bats 3 for South Australia. He's walked in
number of times,
runs with nothing on the board. I actually think his technique is suited to opening. I've got no problem with him opening, so I think he was very unlucky. I'm not sure if him and Khawaja together was a great
combination
that you wanted someone to play a few more shots. Yep. So I think the fact that Khawaja was at the other end actually contributed to Nathan getting dropped.
Yep. Whereas Constance and Khawaja a bit like Warner and
A bit more of the Warner sort of influence early, and that does help the other batter. So I get that.
Yep.
But I think Nathan McSweeney was very unlucky. And let's remember also his catch in Adelaide.
Yes.
When to get Rahul out when they were 1 for 61 was a great catch. He made several very important contributions, and I think he's, you know, I'm a big Nathan McSweeney fan. Mm-hmm. I'm glad for his sake he's going to Sri Lanka.
Yes. We'll talk about that team in a minute.
I wish he was still back here. They'd played the Shield.
Yeah, no, fair call. Steve Smith.
Yeah, just came back. He's a problem solver. He thought, you know, he probably analyses too much and all that. But
his wording was, "I'm playing well, but I just keep getting out." Do you sort of subscribe to that theory that he was actually playing okay? He just kept sort of getting out.
Yeah, yes and no, because his 100 in Brisbane wasn't that fluid.
Yep.
But Melbourne it was. He just needed some time in the middle, which is generally the way.
Mm-hmm. He seemed to have that movement across and forward back in his game.
Yeah, he got back to it because people would go on and get, a lot of people in cricket get technique and initial movement mixed up. When the bowler bowls the ball, when Greg Chappell, who is the most anal person about technique that I know of, lauds Steve Smith's technique because he's perfectly still when he's in form, when the bowler lets go of the ball, that's pretty important.
Absolutely.
And the game's moved on. In the old days, it was very much Barry Jarman coaching at primary school, don't dare leave a gap between bat and pad, where now it's make sure your head's still and you're watching the ball.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But we've got technology now that allows you to analyse that to the nth degree. I totally get it. Travis Head, we did mention a little bit earlier. We think, Trav doing what Trav does and does best.
He got man of the match twice. He's a huge contribution to Australia winning the series.
Absolutely. Bo Webster, another debutant coming in that last
team. Yeah, fascinating too. As a person, again, on technique, it's fascinating. He has his hands wide apart on the bat, which is very similar to a former South Australian, Kenneth George Cunningham. KG had his hand. And I rang up on Saturday morning about it.
Yep.
And I might have actually heard that. I had actually spoken to Flipper off air.
Yes.
And Flipper went and watched and messaged me back. Shit, yeah. And that.
Yep.
So they wanted me on Saturday morning.
Yep.
So out of that, yeah, promising too. Probably a little bit lucky though that Bumrah gets injured as well. So he didn't bowl that much to Webster.
Yep.
But Webster won. Those of us who follow Shield cricket have said he's the best fielder there's been in Shield cricket for years.
Yes.
So the couple of catches, people go, oh, Jesus. Yeah, shit. He's a gun fielder.
Yep.
I think he bowls nice and high and over the top. I think he's a big chance to open the bowling in Sri Lanka because they're probably going to play three spinners.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
Here's the overwhelming feeling that I sort of got was Constance looked like he was the debutant.
Yes.
Bo Webster looked like he'd been there for a long, long time and was just composed enough. Now, you did say, and you made mention there, that Bumrah wasn't playing in that last inning.
Point
so it
there,
made
though.
Him look maybe that little bit better.
Yeah, part of that, but also 31.
Yep.
He's worked his game out.
Yes.
Constance is 19. Yep. Constance hasn't worked his game out yet. Yep. So
that's a big part
of it, that you've got to know your game inside out. And Bo Webster does.
Yep.
Now, because Bo Webster debuted 5 or 6 years ago. He's not having that success.
Right. That's a bit of a throwback to your Hussies,
old style.
The old style,
Darren Lehman. Yep. Like Lehman, the number of runs, you know, because they spoke about, there's Constance, Cooper Connolly picked.
Yep.
And hasn't made a first-class 100 yet.
Yes.
They asked Darren, how many hundreds had you made before he got picked?
Yeah, it was about five million of them.
Poof just replied with, shitloads.
But that was the overwhelming feeling.
Yeah.
Bo Webster looked like he belonged at that level. And I think that's a very good point you make there, that he's worked his game out.
He's 31 years old. He's not a kid.
Yep. And it is a bit of a throwback. We did talk about Alex Carey. You're saying softer hands may help that?
He was still a very important contributor to Australia winning this series. Far better keeper than Pan, obviously, and still contributed consistently with a bat without making any big scores.
Yep.
Still made it involved in a lot of partnerships.
Yep. Mitch Marsh?
Disappointing. He'd admit that himself.
Yep.
It's one thing. You haven't heard anyone say a bad word about him, and then afterwards to say there he was, the first person to wish Bo Webster all the best and mm-hmm. that. So big tick in the good bloke phase yep. as well. And I think that probably got him another test match than what it should have.
Yep. Pat Cummings?
Yeah. I think he's also developed tactically. Now, underdone in the first test, but mm-hmm. he still came through in the fifth where Boomer breaks down. So yep. there's a bit there to think, hang on. Maybe that is the right way to take it because your body's going to get so smashed with those test matches all so close together.
Yes.
You remember back the old days, you know, you had test match, December, whatever. Then we'd have Australia was always the last test, the Australia Day long weekend.
That's right.
So the test matches were spread out where now they're so close together.
Yep.
And that always
but
shows.
But that was because there was five though.
Yeah. Well, there's still five tests this series. No, that's just so close together. Yep. And just, you know, Stark's body didn't hold up either. He kept playing when he probably really shouldn't have played the last test
yep.
either.
Yep. Well, you led me into Mitchell Stark. What did you thought over the course of the series?
Over the course of the series was important.
Yep.
Huge, you know, 6-46 in Adelaide.
Yep.
You know, contributed, got Jay Swale out quite a few times early.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously first ball of the test match in Adelaide.
Yep.
Second ball of the test match. I think, yeah. I think it was Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah, so there, and he was, you know, Jazz Halls. He's obviously the best of the four opening batsmen. So yes. Really important contribution by Stark there.
Yep.
And then Boland.
Well, just there's one more again. Before Boland because I really want to pump his tyres up a little bit. Nathan Lyon, I was a bit concerned going into this series about Nathan Lyon and how he may
yeah but the cope. Pitches the pitches were just were generally green tops and so he bowled one over in Adelaide and six overs in Sydney
yep
so he did get good Gill out
yeah
well Gill got himself out
yes
yet again
yep
the James Stagg of India
yep.
in that way and that and yeah just Gill's a guy who just frustrates the crap out of me because he gets so many good 20s and 30s.
Yep.
And looks great.
Looks solid. And
just plays a dumb shot to get out. And they got it in his head in Sydney. They're playing for lunch.
Yep.
And yeah, it was bizarre what he did.
Yeah,
so I think Nathan Lyon there. And he's still got runs in Melbourne. He always contributes in ways.
Yes.
So, yeah, obviously he'd be disappointed with his series.
Absolutely.
But didn't really have much chance.
No.
Nope. Still got... You know, still got ready out the second innings in Melbourne after he made 100 in the first innings. So that was the vital wicket
yep.
as well. So he still made a couple of contributions.
Yep. Well, I just thought he might struggle a little bit, but hey, proved me wrong, which was great. And then the man you mentioned a minute ago, Scotty Boland, the man for all occasions, comes in and does his job to perfection again. Is he the most unluckiest bowler in Australian history?
Well, so... Sort
it
of
feels
with,
that way.
Yeah, with Stewie McGill. Let's remember, Stewie McGill was Warne's understudy and still took over 200 test wickets without playing a huge amount of test cricket.
Yep.
You know, and he's that way. If he's in any other era, Boland's playing far more test cricket. But he just contributes. And his record of getting wickets in his first over is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just extraordinary. And... Ironically, in Adelaide, he would add wickets on his first ball in both innings,
yep.
but he bowled a no ball in the first innings.
Yep.
So,
is he a bit like McGrath? Puts the ball right on
the
spot?
There's no doubt there's
and
similarities.
And he just makes you play that?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Coley's the man that everyone was trying to get out, and he's done it a couple of times absolutely perfectly.
Well, you got him out four times a series.
That's what I'm saying.
And he only played three test matches.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's got him out four out of six digs. Yeah, so his hold over Coley was very important.
Yep.
And Coley it's the classic bit where his reflexes have started to slide.
So he's chasing.
He's telling himself, don't do it, and still does it. You know? And Ricky Ponting's admitted that he went too long. And he says, now, in retrospect, I should have retired 2 years earlier.
Yep.
And Sharma and Coley were just terrible for the series. Like, let's remember, Kohli's only runs was the second innings in Perth when India were in a fantastic situation. It was a great position.
And the freedom.
Really easy to go in and bat after the two openers have put on 200.
Yes.
And that. And after that, you know, he ran and involved in the run out in Melbourne, the important run out when India had control of that game, which is, you know, that was the other key moment. So you had the one in Adelaide where Rahul get out and they fell away. And then Melbourne, the run out, where faults of both players at fault. You just well did it, but Kohli should have gone. Or Kohli, where in the hell is the bit, the absolute scream of no straight away, you know, out of that.
It looked like he hung him out to dry.
A bit, yeah, he did.
Yep.
So out of that, and then he ran out, and then he gets out straight afterwards. He had to go and make 100 at that stage, and he didn't.
Yep. Mate, there's one man that really kept India in it, and that was Jasprit Bumrah. He was sublime at times.
The only other bowler I can go back in terms of dominating a series, but it wasn't five tests, was Richard Hadlee.
Yep.
Hadlee took 33 wickets in three. It was two or three.
Yep.
Dale Steyn was another one who dominated series for South Africa, but not to the extent of what Bumrah did. Yep. Bumrah was absolutely fantastic.
Are you surprised at the amount of pace he gets off of such a short run-up?
It's his wrist movement. He's unique. He's unique. A great bowler.
Is that why Australia struggled, I suppose, early on against him? Is that they just didn't know how to pick him?
Yeah, he's harder to pick up out of the hand, so it is a bit there. And you just saw Khawaja consistently caught on the crease. He didn't get a forward stride in. The first time he got a forward stride in for the series was the second innings in Sydney where
Bumrah wasn't bowling.
Wasn't there.
Yep.
The first time he hit some cover drives
in
the series.
So where does that leave India? We talked at the beginning of the series saying Australia's a little bit at the crossroads with some decisions to be made, but India have already made it. Well, the players already made the decision for himself to walk away from the game, but they're at the crossroads themselves with who's next going to step in line.
Well, they've lost six out of their last eight test matches they've played, only won one and one draw.
And they lost to New Zealand at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There. And big question marks on Rohit and Kohli, whether they go to India to England.
Yep.
What India decide to do there, who knows, and India tend to let the champions make their own decisions, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But theoretically, it is time to move on, both.
Yep. All right, we've obviously covered a lot of cricket to start with. There's probably only one other question that I've got to ask, and that is, will we see a two-tier test competition from, say, 2027 and beyond? And if so, how does it work?
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings on it. You still basically need other nations strong in test cricket, and it needs the big three to get their head out their backside, particularly India. Let's remember, 78 cents in every dollar in world cricket comes from India.
Yep.
And, you know, it's an incredible stat, but that's a fact. It's not opinion. That's what it is.
Yep.
India, Australia and England must support the other nations.
Absolutely.
That's not only financially, it's got to be help out with expertise as well, you know, coaching, set up pathways, whatever, to have that. Because I don't want to only play India and
England
every 2 years. And yeah, that's not for me. And we need, you know, those of us older, what do we remember fondly was how bloody good West Indies were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that West Indies side when they were strong is still probably the best side I've seen.
Yep.
You know, we'd love them to come back. Very unlikely. But, yeah, and New Zealand also tend to play above their weight. Let's remember, New Zealand have already won a World Test Championship.
Yep. You got South Africa there as well that have always been around the mark but struggling a little bit at the moment.
Financially especially. And, you know, when you have Indian money dominating, so they actually sent a third string side to New Zealand, and due to the sort of weird way the point system's done, they qualify. And good luck to them.
Yep.
You know, and let's be honest, for world cricket, it'd actually be a great result for them to win it.
Yep.
As Australians, wanting that to happen, but overall, but you need the big countries supporting the smaller ones.
Yep. Well and truly.
All right, last one on the test cricket before we sort of move on to the Shield a little bit, because that'll be starting to ramp back up pretty soon.
February 8th.
But the Australian test squad for Sri Lanka has been named. Sean Abbott, a new name to that squad. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, purely it's horses and courses. He's a guy who bats and bowls a bit and all that. Consistent Shield contributor for a long time.
Yep.
So I think it was also interesting, if Australia's spot in the World Championship wasn't decided, I think Pete Hanscom would have been in the squad.
Yep.
Once they made it, they decided to pull him out, probably just to a lesser extent Glenn Maxwell, but I think Hanscom was in it. And McSweeney and Connolly then came back in the frame once we'd made it. If we still had to win in Sri Lanka, I think the side would be different.
Yep. Cooper Connolly, as you mentioned there, Josh Inglis.
Yeah, look, on his batting form for WA the last couple of years, he deserves a spot in the squad. I've got no problem with that.
Yep.
He's going to be around the mark.
Yep.
It's also a bit of a worry that he hasn't played cricket now for a while. He did his calf sub-fielding, so he probably I think he might have played one in game in the 2020 comp, but he really hasn't had a hit since the last Shield game.
Yep.
So it's a long time between drinks.
It is indeed. Matt Kuhneman.
Yeah, he's got to take a left-arm orthodox to the subcontinent.
Yep.
He's our best left-arm orthodox.
Yep.
I think Connolly, the fact he also bowls left-arm orthodox, has contributed to his selection, but you must take a left-arm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Todd Murphy's probably the understudy to Nathan
Lyon. Yeah, he is, and let's also remember Todd Murphy did well on the tour of India, got 7 for in a test match in India, and he was quite reasonable as in England when after Nathan did his calf. So, yeah, he deserves his spot. Corey Roccacielli probably a little bit unlucky from WA, but no, that I would have picked. That's I would have picked Murphy.
Absolutely. Obviously, the usual suspects are there, Labuschagne, Khawaja, and the bowlers alike as well. So we might talk a little bit more about that as to the tactics next week, but let's move on to Shield cricket, mate. Teams will be sort of itching to go for the second half of the Shield season.
Yeah, and WA have been pretty hardly hit now in terms of Bancroft getting injured with that collision with Sams for the Sydney Thunder.
Yep.
Bancroft misses the rest of the season. He not only broke his nose during that, he's done his shoulder blade. Okay. So he misses the...
It was
terrible. Yeah. And actually did some unusual other tests on him because they were worried on the concussion delayed side of it. And Sam's also pretty bad. Like Sydney Thunder flew his wife over to Perth the next day because he's going to be over there for a fair while.
Yep.
And yeah, so it was a horrendous collision. You know, it did bring back memories of S. War and Dizzy in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
So they also lose him. And it's only been announced in the last couple of days that Jai Richardson is having his shoulder operated on. So he misses the rest of the season as well. So they lose those two, Connolly and Inglis. So it's a fair bit out of the WA side.
Absolutely. We did talk about that there could be some injuries that will sort of, and selections, of course, that might actually sort of change the Shield season. But hopefully South Australia can maintain that little bit of rage to keep doing what they're doing best at the moment.
We're still on top of the Shield table.
Mate, I knew you were going to bring it up. Yeah, I was sort of waiting for it.
Leave it at that.
We will leave it
at that. Yeah, I'll quite happily have called the year off. But
let's talk BBL, the Adelaide Strikers. Their season's sort of the Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. They're up and about. Their last game was absolutely fantastic.
That's ridiculous.
What was it? 5 for 251 or something around about that there. And
they were on target to make 300 at one stage. Absolutely. Yeah.
But they've struggled in some games. Is the two spinners, was that the right move, do you think?
Yeah, I think spin to win. You only got to look last night. It was all spinners in that game.
Yep.
Completely. First off, the Scorchers with Agar, Connolly, and Shaw, I think, the offie.
Yes.
And then you had Tom Andrews. And look, I was delighted that Tom made runs. Now, he bats number 4 for Port Adelaide.
Yes.
He's a Brabham, I think he's a Brabham medalist. He certainly did well down in Tasmania as well when he went down there. Very good player at Woodville.
Yes.
I think he's a batsman who can bowl.
Yep.
And I was glad last night because I've thought all year he should not be batting nine for Sydney. And then he took over last night, 37 off 13 balls, and actually won them the game last night. So,
absolutely. Well, we've got an interesting stat with Thomas Andrews a little bit later on there. But the BBL, are you enjoying the shortened season, the BBL? Have they got it right, and do you think it'll stay this way moving forward?
I'd love to even see a couple of games less. I still think that makes each game that bit more important.
Yep.
And the crowds have come back. Now, you very rarely get that in any sport, lose it and get the people back.
Yep.
You know? We also had the amusing situation, as we said on Friday, on Saturday night, where young Haskett's dad takes a catch off his son's bowling.
We were talking about that, yep.
Yeah, which, when you think of it, and I was with Sam Ellicott on Sunday, and I said, now, if you take a catch off Ollie's bowling in district game, you're taking a catch in 20 people there if you're lucky. He's taking the catch 27,000 people at Adelaide Oval, and he's taking the catch off you. You know,
fair effort.
Yeah, and you can see the look on his face. Hang on, that's a bit weird. Now, most people, once they take the catch, they're up and about. He looked really, really
sheepish,
really shitty, actually.
Yep.
And that, and then it came out. Yeah, he was nice and pissed off his son and bowled a half tracker.
That will be a pub quiz question for a long time
amusing.
To come because. You know, to pick your old man out in the crowd is a fair effort there. The Strikers, they've got about a 25% chance of making the finals. If they play like they did the other night, they'll make it. But it's going to be pretty hard for them.
Yeah, Chris Lynn's had hamstring scans, and I don't think the results have come through yet. I've looked up a couple of times trying to find them.
Yep.
Haven't seen anything yet. Now, if he's out, that's huge for Adelaide. And you would think, the fact he didn't field at all, I'd expect he will be out.
Going to be very interesting. Good luck to the
Strikers to play Sydney. We're recording tonight on the Tuesday night.
Yep, it's Wednesday night.
Play tomorrow night.
That's right. Going to be an interesting game down in Tasmania tonight. So see how that sort of shapes the ladder. All right, let's move on to local cricket. There were some games that were played, but I think we'll just sort of skip over that a little bit this week. But we will talk about the leading run scorers. We've got Brad Davis, 384 runs for the season so far in the first grade rounds 1-5.
Yep, Brad here to save us. Did play footy for Adelaide Uni, Brad Bobby Davis.
Yes.
Always a consistent contributor. His district record is insane.
Yes.
I think it's farcical. He hasn't played more Shield cricket.
Yep.
I emphasise the word farcical. And he is a chance to go down. It depends how many years he ends up playing to end up going past Jake Brown as the highest run scorer in district cricket. But he loves cricket, Brad, so I wouldn't be surprised for him to do it. He absolutely loves it. Loves cricket as much as anyone I know, actually.
Now, the man that you mentioned before, Thomas Andrews, 380.
And considering he hasn't played, you know, you think he's missed games now because of the big bash.
Yes.
So, he's had a good year. And as I said, I rate him. I'd like to see him back in. I'd like to see him in the South Australian One Day side.
Yep.
I think he should be.
Yep.
Let's wait and see what happens
there. Do you think his T20 form might dictate that a little bit?
Well, it would help. It gets his name back up there. And I just think we've got to remember he's a very good all-rounder.
Yep.
You know, I like the left-arm orthodox in one day. Can spear it in, bowl that 10 overs. Yes, Pope's getting your wickets, but can go. And I think Pope's got to play Shield cricket.
Yep.
We need him to bowl the 20. We need to take 20 wickets.
Yes.
I think in one day cricket, Tom Andrews can still.
There you go. Maybe we'll get the bat phone to Ryan Harris there and just put a nice little word in for Thomas Andrews there. Henry Cullen, 365.
Yeah, he's had a good, steady, consistent season as well, actually.
Yep. Ryan King at 340.
Yes, I rate Ryan. He's probably only got himself to blame that he hasn't got a big bash contract.
Yep.
There.
No, but certainly getting some runs, obviously, at the local level. And Noah McFadden.
Yeah. Noah's, again, got to check. I think it's his brother playing for Sturt. I will check footy for Sturt. And I reckon if it is, their dad's also a Brabham medalist. So I've got to check that out. I've Could be a cousin. I will check that out.
Cricket runs deep. Yeah, I'll leave that one a little bit of homework. All right, let's move on to the leading wicket takers. Tim Oakley, 23 for the season.
Yeah, nice tall, goes over the top. Yeah, he's... I'd like to see him a bit more yet. I want to see a bit more of him.
Michael Cormack.
Yeah, Offie for East Torrens.
21 wickets so far.
Yeah, I think he could be moving to Queensland for work. We'll leave that one.
A little drive-by there. Nice.
I think it's Michael. Got to check that one as well.
Kyle Scrimshaw.
Yeah, haven't seen enough of him. I did have one huge game where he took 9 for... as well, so he's.
Deacon Murphy
shows potential.
Thomas Brown,
I like Tom Brown. I rate Tom. He's a genuine all rounder. He's made an 80 at least. He's made 100 as well.
Yep.
So he's in the. And I admit I don't agree with this. It's his second year in the SACA 19s team.
Yes.
So he's playing Div 2 when he would obviously be in Uni's Div 1 side, be playing, and he's a very important player for Uni, and he'd be important player whatever district side he was at, playing in Div 1. So I don't agree with that, with the way they've got that.
That two-tier competition. Yeah. All right, mate, we've covered a lot of cricket. We sort of needed to. We had about 2 or 3 weeks to catch up, and with all the tests sort of being played back-to-back-to-back, it certainly made that. But let's take a
quick bit on the women's.
Yes.
Adelaide defeated Kensington on the weekend. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. I think that's the first time they've ever defeated Kensington in first grade. So good result for the Buffaloes, the Buffalo Lets or whatever.
We might follow that one up next week. All right, let's take a very quick break, mate. Coming up, Adelaide Giants going for their three-peat. And the Australian Open kicks off, but obviously Adelaide was the destination of a few for their warm-ups. And in basketball, we talk about the Jekyll and Hyde of the BBL cricket. The basketball is in the same boat.
Jakarta just lost.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Casserly Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert, trust Gary Creeves at Owens Casserly Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317 or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscasserly.com.au. Make it happen. We thank our sponsors as per usual. All right, mate, let's continue with the AFL. The preseason is back on track for most teams late last week into this week. What are we expecting from Adelaide and Port Adelaide at this stage of the season? No injuries would be the Christmas wish.
Yeah, the big one, though, is Port Adelaide, obviously.
Yes, with Todd Marshall.
Todd Marshall out for the season with the ruptured Achilles. So I think that's a big loss for Port.
Yep. Obviously, injuries, you don't want them during the preseason. But, what did Port Adelaide do to cover Todd Marshall?
Well, I think that gives Ollie Lord his opportunity as well. Ollie Lord showed a fair bit in the finals a couple of years ago. Kicked four against Brisbane on Andrews.
Yes.
So it's going to be him, Georgiades, and then it's going to be Lukosius. See how he goes.
Is Marshall going to be one of these unlucky players that's injury is going to dominate his career? Because this is what it sort of feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he's probably one concussion away as it is.
Yep.
So, it's terrible luck for the young fella.
Absolutely. Yeah. We wish him the best. We've got to send our condolences there to Michael Turner from the Cats, the young mentor of young talent through their program there. That's a big loss.
Huge loss. And if you actually have the list in front of you, of which Jake Bushell did do at one stage for me,
mm-hmm.
and if I find it again, it's extraordinary. number, the talent she's got there. If you pick the best of side of any youngsters, it's a ridiculous side to pick from.
Yep.
You know? Jonathan Brown, Scarlett, Ablett, Bartel, et cetera.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. We might follow that one up, mate, and sort of
I'll chase Bushy up for that list.
Do that actually. List, yeah, that'd be absolutely. Last one on the AFL. It seems like the off-field incidents have been a bit of a focus of this year's Christmas and New Year's break, with a couple of players sort of getting themselves in a bit of trouble.
I think Noah Boulder might be in a bit of strife.
Yeah, we normally see this with the NRL, but the AFL haven't had it for quite some time, and basically all in one big hit. So,
yes, watch this space.
Best of luck to those players involved there. All right, let's move on to the tennis, mate. The Australian Open has started, but the Adelaide International was underway last week, obviously, in Adelaide here. Local hopefuls putting their hand up. Tanasi Kokkinakis, obviously, was probably the one that we were watching, but had to withdraw due to niggling injury.
And then had a good win last night.
And then he had a good win, yeah.
Yeah, so that was encouraging, fought hard. And, yeah, really last night it was incredible because I think his opponent had 22 break points and only took 4 of them. So
yep.
It was really Kokkinakis' fight.
Yes.
Got him over the line.
Absolutely. Before we go on to some of the other results there, obviously we've got to talk about Nick Kyrgios making his comeback. He hung in there, but he sort of half mentioned that maybe singles is off the agenda for the Australian Open next year already.
Look, let's be honest. If you're talking of Australian sportsmen, any sports person, all you want is them to have a fair dinkum crack. Now, I think he's going to end up as the greatest could have been,
mm-hmm.
could ever have been. I never wanted a coach, never wanted to do the hard work. Look,
but let's look at this from a slightly different slant, is that, yes, he's an Australian, but he's playing for himself?
Oh, yeah.
Because it is an individual sport,
he's a different cat.
You've got to present that.
Yeah, he's different, but overall, yeah. Summed up pretty well with a couple of commentators, said they're not going to remember his era fondly. And I reckon that's a pretty fair way of putting it.
Fair call. We'll stay on Kyrgios very quickly. He's been obviously invited back and named in the Australian Davis Cup team, reuniting with Leighton Hewitt after 5 years. How do we see that playing out now that this injury has...
It's probably unlikely. It'd be for a double spot whether he... You know, and let's remember, him and Kokkinakis did win the Australian Open last year.
Yep.
So Hewitt may quite justifiably might think they're the best possible double pairing.
Even though you've got the number one.
Yeah, where does Matthew Eblens fit in? Yep. So, yeah, it's still a maybe.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the Australian Open. Obviously started on Sunday at Melbourne Park there. Not good hunting ground on Sunday for the Australians. Lee Tu, obviously the South Australian lad, going down in 4 sets there. 4 pretty tight sets, except for the first set was 6-1, but he showed some fighting spirit there, and obviously as a wild card got his opportunity, but didn't quite take it. So well done to him.
But let's go to the first round of the Australian Open.
Yep.
Tristan Skulcate, Alex Vukic,
yes.
James McCabe, all won their first games. None of them household names.
That's correct.
Yeah, you probably had to do a bit of homework on those to do a bit of research and find out. Skulcate was young, Alex, double sport.
Yep.
Yeah, so that side of things. Chris O'Connell, really valiant effort, losing against Tommy Paul, the 12th seed, in 5 sets.
Yes.
In a real close one. Probably the biggest surprise so far, and Jordan Thompson getting through as the 27th seed.
Absolutely.
As an Australian. Good to see there.
Yep. And Popovich is on
Popovich on now actually. Yep. 3 all in the first set about 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
Tsitsipas losing is big, and that actually apparently is on Diminor's side of the draw.
That's correct. They were sort of going to meet quarterfinals.
That's a good result there for him potentially.
Yes.
Overall, I think so far, and look, sorry, and being unfair here.
Yep.
We're mentioning on the Australian male side of it.
Yes.
Let's also remember, in what was an incredible result, really, where I think it was two match points and came back I think it was 5-2 in the set there. I'm going back through results here.
No, that's okay.
So it's got to go back to Monday.
Talking about Chris O'Connell.
No, Stance Avia. If you go through there, it was a bit fascinating to read there. He's had some mental health issues.
Yes.
And a bit of thing about body shaming. And
yep.
Yeah, stuff came back on social media there. She opted to wear Maria Sharapova outfit. And then people have then made a comment, why are you wearing that?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't good, but then I probably wouldn't have picked that either. So,
yep. Yeah. Just winning 10-5 in the third set there.
Yeah, in terms of the tie break bit there. So it was a great result by D Stance, and hopefully she can progress as well. So I think there was some pretty promising results. Probably a little bit more disappointing today. One of them though, Emerson Jones, she's only 16. Big results in juniors. You know, just like Ash Barty and one junior and all that. Now she lost 6-1, 6-1 today.
Yes.
But it wasn't a case of her making 8 million errors or anything like that.
Yep.
Alina Rybakina was sensational. Absolutely brilliant. And at once, Emerson Jones actually had love 40 on Alina's serve. She promptly did 5 aces in a row.
Yes.
So you can't say the kid could have done anything there. So, yes. I think she is definitely one to watch for the future. So probably it seems to be the most excited they've been for an Australian youngster for a long time.
Since Ash Barty, that's right.
Since Ash Barty, yeah.
Current matches going on at the moment. These results will obviously been one and done by the time this podcast goes to air. But Alex Dimonor in a very strong position at 6-1, 3-1. Alexei Popyrin, as we mentioned there, 4-all.
Yeah.
Birol was really unlucky to come up against a lucky loser because her original opponent pulled out. Last minute and, just struggled.
Which was quite bizarre. Disappointing. And in terms of, too, also Rinki Ijikata
had some
promising results earlier before this tournament.
Yes.
And went out in straight sets to Mitchell Krueger. Was a bit of a disappointing result. So a little bit more down today, but hopefully Dimonor and hopefully Popyrin and that. So it's a big game for Popyrin because he is seeded 25.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Good luck to all players. We'll obviously know where everything's sort of standing by this time next week. I really want to talk, obviously, a lot more about that then. All right, let's move on to basketball. This has to be the Jekyll and Hyde team of sport at the moment. 1 minute they stink and the next minute they're championship team. Currently sitting eighth on the ladder with 3 games behind fifth place.
They were up by 7 against Jumpers under a minute to go.
Yep.
And managed to grab defeat from the jaws of victory in overtime. So, disappointing there because that was a game they had to win.
Absolutely.
To still maintain a chance.
They're playing home against the Illawarra Hawks on the 13th, which was yesterday. So
yeah, they did win. Just won.
Which was fantastic. So, again, this Jekyll and Hyde of up and down, it seems to be the mantra of the season. All right, mate, we've got to really get scooting on here. Let's see what's coming up on Friday and Monday. Phil Harper part 3, and thank you to everyone who's been sort of waiting for that third part of the interview.
I've almost forgotten what Harp looks like.
Exactly, yeah. And Wayne Wiedemann part 1.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over 2 decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Rogerstein Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
Yeah, to a bit of a bizarre one. Had to call in and see the great folk at Rogerstein Crash Repairs. In thing at the moment, I've found out, Pete, is pinching and swapping number plates.
Wow.
So I came out of the shopping centre, couldn't find my car, and I've always been a numbers person, and I'm looking for my number plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found my key ring and clicked on and tried to open it. And didn't think anything of it until I was driving off. Then I pulled over and I went and checked. And, yeah, different number plate on the front and back seat. And I knew it was what my correct number plate should have been. So I went and reported it to the police. And, the police person said, yeah, this is happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who was fantastic at Motor Reg, or Service SA now.
Yes.
Said, I was the fourth person she'd served so far. It was a Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
She said, so therefore there's been at least 25 so far this week.
That's
so apparently it's being used for petrol drive-offs and hoon driving in terms of then driving, having a bit of fun going through red light cameras and all that sort of crap. So, yeah, it was a bloody hassle, pain in the ass, and thank you to Steam Crash Repairs for helping me out there, that they had the correct screwdriver. It didn't take him long compared to the, you or I would have been mucking around for a while doing that.
Fair enough. Well, as we've said, anything to do,
anything at all,
head over to Rogerstein Crash Repairs. All right, mate, today's flashbacks, bit of a football. I want to do a football because we've obviously talked a little bit of cricket, but Adelaide v Brisbane this year was a very, very close encounter. Let's have a look at the last 2 minutes.
Dane Zorko belts it beyond the wing. Keane, Berry, every kick, every metre is precious now, but it's out on the full. Rochelle just checked himself for a moment, and now the kick is long down the line. Andrews has got clear, too much for Dawson in the air. The next contest is what matters. Murphy, Hinge against his old team. How he'd love a grab from Taylor Walker. And it's down to a minute 25.
This has been a real feature for the Crows here. Look, Tex is just going to organise the troops. Is he going to take the ruck work? Because he's been the most dangerous. He's not. O'Brien's going to take it. I think that's an error.
I think Tex might try and get involved with the palm. See if he can be the man to get the snap.
Crowd giving it their all. O'Brien taps it. McClaggers, there's danger in the kick. It's not a mark. Zorko happy to absorb. A shake of the head.
It's got to be Tex. It's got to be Tex here. And it's got to be strong and try and be the man yourself.
Tension points possibly anywhere right now. A minute 10 on the clock. Stasevich took it. They took him down. A minute 8.
Good from Brisbane. Hold it in. Do not let this ball leave the clearance.
32 of the 36 players are inside a crowded 50. Fogarty couldn't get the hands clear. What to do next for Zorko? Hinge, it wobbles, it's Keys, it's Andrews, it's pressure everywhere you look. In a whirlwind, it's back towards Eric Hipwood-Dobar. The Irishman keen, anything goes. Worrell's kick, the big O. Archie Miller, 41 seconds now. The thickening of the plot. A goal will tie it all up and then we'd go to the ladder again. What would that mean? Can Brisbane hang on? They did last week.
Cannot give away a free kick here, particularly in the ruck. Be so careful with your Lions defender.
Payne is the extra back in the goal square, as you saw. It's Taylor Walker, but they were ready for him. He threw the head back.
Tried to play for it, yeah.
Yeah, didn't get the free.
No, he didn't. Harris Andrews, the spare for the Lions. Just trying to fill up that hole between the contest and the centre bounce. He's come up to Fogarty now.
20 seconds to go. All or nothing for the Adelaide Crows. Berry sinks the kick. It's Danaher. What a time. What a time for Joe Danaher. And that might do. Sweet relief. Don't worry about Sweet Caroline. That's sweet relief for the Brisbane Lions. Unconquered still at the Gabba. There was a hell of an effort from the Adelaide Crows. But in the end, the Lions will sleep well tonight.
Extra Time. Big Finish.
All right, tonight's Extra Time Big Finish will be a short one because we've run out of time on our first episode of 2025. But we'll talk about the AFLW next week, the NBA, obviously starting to shape up. The NFL is obviously getting the wild card round. That'll all be sorted out. And the SNFL, we might get somebody on from the SNFL to talk about that.
Yep.
But probably the big one here for me is the Adelaide Giants making a finals bid once again for a three-peat.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing on the weekend because they were a chance to get top spot. They needed everything to go their way, but they didn't help themselves. Lost their last couple of games against Brisbane. Turned out, even if they'd won them, I think they would have finished half a game still short. So,
hey, you got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, there's still a big chance.
Absolutely.
So, go the Giants.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that as well. Live Golf,
we'll touch
on that briefly. We might get Craig on to talk about
Craig
that.
Yep.
February 14 to 16 here in Adelaide. Be interesting with the timing change. Normally it's back in March, but they're moving it forward to February, so it's going to be interesting how that goes. Mate, we better wind things up there. The good, the bad, the ugly for this week, mate.
I'm going to go so far the Australian ladies team beating England so far in both one-dayers.
Yes. Controversy.
The England lady today. Now, Jones, whether she's either miscounted, which is what the commentator said, I actually think what's happened is she's just on another planet where Annabelle Sutherland, because she's bowled two balls above waist high, gets removed from the bowling attack.
Yep.
Taylor McGrath bowls the last ball of that over. Now, I think she's got so tunnel vision, she was thinking that's the first ball of the next over.
Yep.
I still think that's the one. And like Riley Meredith down in Tasmania, despite the fact professional sport and all that, doesn't mean the person's going to think. Great result for Australia.
The ultimate brain fade.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was staggering. Look, whether they still would have got him or not, but how you can end up only having him chasing 180 and get yourself to a spot that you're going to need 22 off the last two overs anyway,
yes,
I think it's quite crazy as well.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Well done to Alana King, 4 for 25, was the key bowler today.
Absolutely.
Channel 7, though, so the game's on today.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden at 3:30, they went to border security. How in the hell that is, I don't know whether it went to the other channel because we don't pick that up.
Oh, okay.
We're one of those people where that channel doesn't work.
Right.
You're not on your Pat Malone there.
Yep.
So, yeah, watching that.
So
it's 6 for 120. The game's evenly poised.
Yep.
And it goes off air.
I think you've covered the good, the bad, the ugly. All in one. I think you've done well. My good, obviously, right now is looking at Alexi Poprin taking the first set 6-4. So well done there. A bit of fun to sort of finish us off tonight. We're going to throw it out there on the socials. Nicknames of players and some famous nicknames that have gone around. We're going to throw that out there to the listeners and see what comes back. It could be quite interesting,
We could certainly use some of Adelaide Uni Footy Club's ones.
Look forward to hearing them next week. Mate, we better wind things up. It's been a great start to 2025. Good to be back on air with everybody. Please like, rate and subscribe, as we always say. And, mate, we've got to do better than this.
Yeah, especially with me getting hacked on Facebook. So if anyone can get out there and get things listening would be helpful.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's wind things up there and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.